Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Democracy in a big, diverse country doesn't work if you constantly demonize each other. And I mean that literally, by the way. I was reading the other day, there's a guy on the radio who apparently Trump's on his show frequently. He said, me and Hillary are demons. Said we smell like sulfur. Ain't that something? Now, I mean, come on, people.
I don't know who he's referencing when he says someone on the radio. I don't think it was me because it could be me. Because I said that he's a demon for a long time because I believe he's demonic. And I think in deciding yesterday how to appeal to Obama, if he gets the reports from one of his minions working inside the inside of the inside, probably he was referring to Alex Jones in that comment. I never mentioned sulfur, I don't think, but I did say he was demonic because he is demonic. How else would you describe what Obama is doing to this nation other than demonic? There's no other way to describe it. And so I would send an appeal out to Mr. Obama rather than yelling and screaming because he's the most powerful man on earth and he's not going to listen anyway. But I think that somewhere inside Barack Obama, there is a different person. Somewhere deep inside of him, there is a man who actually might understand that he has weakened the military, that he has demonized the police, that he has instigated mobs and riots, that he is conducting warmongering against Russia, that he has conducted the greatest spy enterprise ever seen in the world, that he has looked the other way as radical Islamists commit murder and trample the world, while he is destroying our borders, flooding the U.S. with undesirable, deplorable welfare leeches, and continues to practice a scorched earth policy against America. I actually would appeal to Mr. Obama to stop and take a deep breath and understand that everything I have just said can be factually supported. I do not know in my heart of hearts if Obama really wants to do these things or even knows he's doing these things. I don't actually know if he is doing these things on purpose because he has an enmity towards this nation and wants to destroy it or weaken it and turn it into just a, I don't know what he wants to turn it into. But I do know that he's turning it into something it was never intended to be. And so this is not an apology. This is an appeal to Barack Obama to stop and take a deep breath and stop listening to the mean, evil sorority advisors around you and look at what you've actually done. You have turned this society against each other in a way that it has not been for at least 50 years. You've turned black against white, white against black. You have weakened the military to the point where I don't even know if it can function anymore. You have conducted a war upon the police to such an extent that police are being killed on a regular basis. And you did it. You did it, Mr. Obama. Eric Holder, another one, did it to America. All of the people who have demonized police have done it to America, where cops are afraid to do their job, and when they do, they get killed. It was you who instigated the Black Lives Matter mobs. You instigated the riots. You invited the rioters to the White House. You conducted the spying on ordinary Americans who were not guilty. You are looking the other way as ISIS and other radical Islamists commit murder and rape. You, Mr. Obama, are trampling the U.S. Constitution, even though you are a constitutional scholar. You, Mr. Obama, have erased our borders with Mexico. You, Mr. Obama, are flooding the U.S. with undesirable, deplorable welfare leeches. I can support that by the simple fact that the largest percentage of people on welfare are not Native Americans, and I don't mean American Indians, Mr. Obama, but working taxpaying Americans. But the inordinate amount of welfare that is being sucked out of the taxpayers' blood is being sucked out by your very immigrants. And so it's fair to say that you, Mr. Obama, are practicing a scorched earth policy against the United States of America. So why do you find such offense and some comedy in the statement that some of us would say that you are demonic? This is my appeal. I'm trying to do it in a different way, because this country has one election left, and we know what the media is doing. While the world is burning, the vermin in the media, the rats in the media, the Salenterites in the media, the crickets in the media, the non-humans in the media continue to talk about what Trump did in 2005. And all of a sudden, the old hags are coming out of the woodwork, trying to pull a, what's his name, that poor actor on him. Whatever. Every old hag, she wants another day in the sun. Oh, Trump looked at me in 1901. Trump looked at me in 2006. Trump came into my dressing room when I was stripping for someone else. Oh, Trump is this, Trump is that. All the while, the world is burning. The other day, a plane crash in East Hartford, Connecticut, was conducted by a Muslim from Jordan. At first, of course, we were lied to again by the vermin in the media, and we were told it was not a terror attack. Nothing to see here. Move on. But the pilot was Jordanian. We found out 2 days later that the plane was purposely crashed in Connecticut. Two Boston police shot by a man wearing body armor after responding for a call on domestic abuse. Not one word from the demons in the media. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin is recalling Russian officials from the United States and Western nations in what could be a signal that he's preparing for a war, all because of the demon in the White House and Hillary Clinton, who has called him Hitler. The latest WikiLeaks dump shows collusion between the media and the Clinton campaign to try to take out any opposition. That is something that was done and is done only in third world dictatorships. The U.S. Navy is launching attacks on Yemen after a failed attempt of firing a missile on a U.S. Navy destroyer. The list goes on and on. But what is it that you're reading in your newspapers? What is it that you're seeing on your television screens? What are you hearing during the news breaks on the radios? Donald Trump said some really naughty things. Is that what you're supposed to worry about? Now the old hags are amazingly coming out of the woodwork to accuse him of groping them so many years ago. Why is it happening now? Why? How come the very same offended media types had nothing to say when Bill Clinton was accused of raping several women and having many affairs right in the Oval Office? That wasn't news. Oh, wait a minute, all you good liberals. What about when John F. Kennedy had affair after affair in and out of the White House? That wasn't a big deal either. It was just what men do. Well, but what about when old Ted the Drunk Kennedy left a woman to die in Chappaquiddick? That was nothing to you either? Well, you see, JFK was an American icon. Bill Clinton led us through a glorious 1990s. Ted Kennedy was the lion of the Senate. That's what they were, you see. But Trump, forget about him. You see, the world is burning and it's about to get worse. And we have a choice, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Who do you trust most with the country at this critical moment? And I think that you have to understand something else in the opening minutes of this radio program on the Savage Nation. Many of you have become disheartened because of the piling on by the lowest of the human species, the Wolf Blitzers, the Jake Tappers. I can name them all. It doesn't matter what I say about them. They are paid operatives of the Democrat socialist machine. They are leading you to believe that the election is already over. They want you to believe that Trump can't win. They want to dishearten you so that you don't even vote, because they know that the entire election hinges upon the voter turnout. Democrats understand that. That's why they're working the crowds. That's why they're working the gutters. That's why they're working the prisons. That's why they're working the swamps. That's why the demon in the White House is flooding America with illegal aliens. That's why they've eliminated voter IDs in order to get voter turnout for the most corrupt criminal woman to have ever gotten this close to the White House. And what they want you to feel is that it's over and you can't win, so why vote? Well, the exact opposite is true. Not only must you vote, you must actually get out the vote. You must speak to others on the other side of the aisle, those of you who understand what is at stake, and you must tell them that everything is at stake, because the Democrats are practicing a scorched earth policy on America. And should she win, all hell will break loose in this nation. She will conduct herself in a manner that you can only fear. Now, I can ask you, what do you fear most about a Hillary presidency? I don't think you have to be a genius to understand the answer to that question. just look at the amendments. Take a look at amendments 1 through 10, and you'll see a few of them are right in her sights. She'll start with the First Amendment. She will limit the freedom of speech. She will limit freedom of the press. She will limit, if not eliminate, freedom of the Internet. Now let's look at the Second Amendment. You say, well, wait a minute, that's established law. Didn't that one who was appointed by Obama, whatever his name, her name was Kagan, didn't Kagan say during her hearings to become a Supreme Court justice, didn't she say, and I know we have the tape, the Second Amendment is established law. I think we can find that tape. Do you think that Kagan will still say that the Second Amendment is established law if Hillary Clinton wins and stocks the Supreme Court the way, let us say, Franklin Delano Roosevelt did? Expanded the court, stocked the court in order to continue his fascistic control over America? I don't think so. What we are witnessing in this country now is a breakdown approaching a civil war. Several books ago, I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War. I followed it up with Government Zero. I followed it up with Scorched Earth, which by the way, and I got the news last night, is on the New York Times list for a fourth straight week, despite a blacklisting by Fox News and all of the other media outlets. Now, I expect all the other media outlets, but wouldn't you think that Snow White, who you know as Megyn Kelly, wouldn't you think that Snow White would want to have a best-selling author on her show? You would, wouldn't you? But if you look into Snow White's orientation, political orientation, that is, you will find out that Snow White, just like the others, are following the marching orders, and the march is towards socialism. Make no mistake about it. In socialist systems, there are some very rich and powerful people on top, and the rest of the people are serfs. Don't for one minute confuse it with an egalitarian equality society where everyone makes the same amount of money. There are the very rich, and then there are the rest of the people. And that is why Snow White, along with those in the media who are all very, very wealthy, continue this absurd march towards socialism. Now, when I come back on this program, I'm going to continue with the discussion of socialism. I've done it many times, as have others in radio, but I want to now do something that I don't think others have done. It's a little history lesson, and you will learn that this is not the first time America has actually faced a socialist takeover of the government.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Democracy does not work if you just say stuff like that. And apparently there are people who believe that stuff. And they're listening to it constantly.
Constantly.
You can't have leaders who are promoting that, because what happens then is we get so divided and people are so angry at each other that then nothing gets done.
So Mr. Obama is saying that you can't demonize people or call him a demon because it divides people and people get angry at each other. You can't demonize people. So I thought about that and I said, well, wait a minute. Let's now stop and think. Who has Barry O. demonized? Who has Hillary demonized? Why, it's a simple, short list. The very man who's offended by someone calling him and Hillary a demon. Let's see. They've demonized cops. Check that. Yes. They've demonized white people. Check that. They've demonized people with money. Check that. They've demonized Christians. Check that. They've demonized Israeli Jews. Check that. They've demonized Russians. Check that. They've demonized Putin. Check that. Who else? Let's see. Who else have these non-dividers, these uniters, demonized? Oh, yeah, the rednecks. Right. They've demonized half of Trump's supporters. They know who you are. You are all deplorables. And this is a man who was so smart as a propagandist that he thinks he can triangulate the story by making believe he hasn't done the same and worse. And again, this is not the first time that America has faced a socialist takeover. Obama was only the first barrage. He didn't get quite as far as they wanted him to get. He got close, but he didn't win. She comes in, the bull is dead. Did you know that 100 or so years ago, our country was battling a socialist takeover, similar to what we are facing today? Many of you don't know this. The issues in the teens and the 20s, those are the 19s and the 1920s, are very similar to today. The campaigns were being run on fair wages for labor, benefits for veterans, regulation of immigration, treaties with much of the world, race riots in major cities. And yes, there were even terror attacks that were issues in the 1920 election. The other similarity was that there was a socialist movement trying to take over the government. You see, the roots of the ideology that Barack and Hillary are trying to impose on us did not just emerge in the 1960s. They go back over a century. Does the name Eugene Debs strike a chord with you? Eugene Debs was an Indiana labor organizer. Does that sound like a community organizer to anyone listening? Eugene Debs embraced socialism and was the Socialist Party standard bearer for five elections. And believe me, he was not a marginal player. In 1912, he got 6% of the vote. And yet his last campaign garnered him nearly a million votes when the population was obviously much smaller. You see, Russia's Bolshevik Revolution and the dawn of communism was an exciting experiment that many in this nation saw as quite compelling. Eugene Debs took the message to the streets in the form of strikes and fighting for, quote, workers' rights. Did you know that in 1919 there was one of the biggest race riots in Chicago over the alleged false arrest of a black man instead of a white man for murder? The conduct of the white police force was being criticized during and after the riots. Black Lives Matter. Ring a note to anyone. Have you heard the names Sacco and Vanzetti? You'll hear a little bit more about Sacco and Vanzetti when we come back, and what socialism was then, and how it's now revived itself in America under Hillary Clinton.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So the President of the United States gets up and does, he's a very, very skilled orator, probably the best in the history of the world. I've never seen anything like it, what he gets away with. He is the silk smooth salesman of all time. And so he gets up and says a radio host called him a demon. And that he said that's a terrible thing to do, but he doesn't get mad. He never gets angry. He rarely loses his temper in public. We don't know what he's like behind closed doors, because no one's pulled a Trump on him. Imagine if we can get a videotape of him actually saying something in the confines of the White House to his sorority. Can you imagine if you get a tape from a Secret Service guy who actually cared about America, who could leak a tape of the president railing against white people, cops, rich people, Christians, Israelis, Russians, Putin, rednecks? I think that would be quite more important than Mr. Trump talking about a woman's body. But then he says that it's not good to demonize people because it divides the nation and people are so angry that nothing gets done. Now, what do you mean nothing gets done? That's the joke of all time. He's gotten almost everything he's ever wanted done. But they keep saying we've got nothing done because of a divided Congress. He knows better than anybody that we're supposed to have a divided Congress. That's the mark of a democracy. The more arguments, the better. When you have no arguments, you have North Korea. He knows that. This is like a doctor trying to treat tachycardia by telling you, hey, drink more coffee, watch more horror movies. You know, it's the same thing. The guy is causing tachycardia in America while telling us how to avoid tachycardia. Who has Barry demonized? The people I just mentioned to you. So now let's look at the election, and what I've been giving you is a little history of the socialist takeover of America. And I told you in the 1920s there was a huge campaign for socialism, and it got very close to taking over America. It was the last time this country faced it the way we're facing it right now with Hillary. See, the election between Hillary and Trump is very clear to me in another way. It's between centralized, powerful, authoritarian, big government. That's her. You just want to put it in a mild way. And let us say a free market capitalist society. That's the division right there. You want a free market capitalist society with Donald Trump, or do you want to see an authoritarian centralized government that controls every breath you take, taxes you to death, constricts your business, and floods America with so many refugees from so many nations on earth that there's virtually no America left? That's the election. in a nutshell. Now, you'd think it would be a slam dunk if people truly understood what is at stake. But because of the fellow travelers in the media, like Wolf Blitzer, like Jake Tapper, I can name all of them, the people are confused. They don't know what's really at stake. And, of course, then they're getting the dirt in the mud. That's all they want to hear is the salacious details. Then you got characters, low life of the lowest. They throw them off radio, have no radio show, no nothing. A guy like Jerry Rivers, you know him as Geraldo Rivera. Can you imagine this nobody who was thrown off radio for being a phony had the nerve to try to inject himself into the Trump issue by saying just last week that him and his brother had secret tapes of Trump that they were going through and they have stuff that's worse than what you heard, and that creep had the nerve to say a thing like that, and then he apologized the other day saying there's nothing in the tapes? That person is still in the media. That person is still on television. I don't even know where he is. This is what we're facing, that there are no consequences for outright liars, plain out liars. We all lie. We know that in our private lives or publicly occasionally. But when you lie in the media and you are caught, you're usually fired. Look what happened to Dan Rather. When have you last seen one of his broadcasts? Look what happened to that guy, I don't even remember his name, who used to be on NBC. What was his name? Who lied about the war and this and that. They bust Brian Williams, wasn't that his name? I think that was his name. Look what happened to him when he got caught lying. Why is it that people in the media caught lying now are not fired? Why? Because the lowest form of humanity have taken over the networks. The lowest people on earth have risen to the highest positions in the news business. That's why. That's why they're not fired. But to go back to my main story, which is, this is not the first time America's faced a socialist takeover. And what you're getting today on the program is a good lesson. It's a very good history lesson. And we'll continue with it. Have you ever heard the name Sacco and Vanzetti? These were radical socialists who followed an Italian anarchist, Luigi Galliani, who formed a group that was bent on carrying out terror bombings and assassinations right here in America. Well, that's what Sacco and Vanzetti carried out, and they were arrested and executed for doing it. They blew up Wall Street, killed a lot of people. And the word bomb thrower was attached to, you're going to believe this, to Italians for years after that. Did you know that? It was in the common parlance, bomb throwers, because these people were Italian. Now, speed forward. Although it was Teddy Roosevelt who started the progressive movement, and Woodrow Wilson, who was sympathetic to socialist ideas, it was not until Hillary's role model, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, appeared that centralized, top-down government power was put into place. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the icon of the left, had a closet full of advisors, some of whom secretly met with Joseph Stalin, the dictator, to study the communist experiment, and then he started his own brand of centralized, top-down government on the U.S. economy. He took advantage of an economic crisis by creating public works programs on the order of what Stalin was doing in Russia. In fact, Hitler did the same thing in Germany to jumpstart the German economy. Did you know that? Did you know that that's how Hitler won the popular vote? It wasn't that his politics of racism were so popular with the German people. It was that they were stabbed in the back in World War One. They lost an awful lot of land that never should have been taken from them after World War One. The League of Nations is who started World War Two. But as a result of crippling the Germans with reparations, the German people needed someone to come along to restore their economy. And Hitler was the man. He did it. He did it through public works projects. The only difference between what Hitler did and what Stalin did, and even what FDR did with the public money, was they actually built things. They built bridges. They built tunnels. Look around in this country. You see the George Washington Bridge in New York. You see the Lincoln Tunnel. These tunnels were built during the 1930s with WPA money and other money, sent money that came from the government. They put men to work. I ride in San Francisco through tunnels, and I look at the tile, the ceramic tiles that are still in these tunnels, and they're still there. They were put up in the 1930s. I don't know what kind of glue they used, but you go through the Broadway Tunnel in San Francisco. That tunnel was built in the 30s with money that was used to build things. Now compare that with the phony in the White House, the demon in the White House, the man who says he's not a demon. He took trillions of dollars when he first became president, and he said he was going to use it to restore America. Have you seen one bridge built that has the name Obama on it? Have you seen one tunnel built? Have you seen one roadway built? You've seen nothing built. The money was stolen by his cronies in the corrupt, evil Democrat machine. But getting back to socialism, where Debs failed, Franklin Delano Roosevelt succeeded. He created one government program after another. He created one agency after another. And he tried to manage every aspect of an economy inherited from Herbert Hoover, who also saw the government as a tool to correct commerce in the United States. Here's a very important point. When Roosevelt could not get his plans and agencies in line with the Supreme Court, he packed the Supreme Court so everything would go his way. Plan after plan, agency after agency, failed to produce the productive economy that he was promising. The same way that Soviet communism and the master planners in Russia failed to provide even the basic necessities to its citizens. What happened was the rich got richer, the poor got poorer, and the divisions between people were continuing to grow under this socialist philosophy. And what was it that got us out of this mess? What caused the nation to unite? And here's the most important thing you're going to learn today. Don't touch that dial. What got us out of that mess? What restored the economy that Roosevelt tried to fix with centralized government and government money, meaning taxpayer money, and the highest taxes you've ever seen in the world? A world war. A world war, which is something we may be facing right now. We just read that Russia is pulling officials out of the West. We learned that Russia has told all people to come home to the motherland, including their children. The prospect of World War III now looms. Do you know why? Because war mongers in both parties, neocons, neolibs, are salivating for a war with Russia. They feel that that would save the economy. They feel that would lead us to an economic prosperity, as all of our industries would be called on to produce at high levels. It would lead to full employment. Is that what you want? Is that what you want from a Democrat president? Because the one opposing it is Donald Trump. Donald Trump said he would do a deal with Putin to make sure we don't go to war. So how important do you think this election is? When I say in scorched earth that we are one bad election away from losing everything, and despite the fact that I'm blackballed by Snow White and the friendly green giant on Fox News, the book is 4 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, despite the fact that I have zero publicity except this show. Are the words Donald Trump said enough to keep you away from him? Is the fact that he said something in 2005 enough for you to go to war with Russia? Do you want to really put our nation in the arms of Hillary Clinton and her mad sisters, who will double down on Barack Obama's socialist agenda? I want you to try to think instead of just reacting emotionally. Imagine the world if that happens. Imagine what you will be facing if we have a war with Russia. And this is not hyperbole. This is the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-407-2822. I hope that what you have already heard on this program in the first 40 minutes is worth the price of admission. Now, many of you will say it is. The show costs nothing. It's worth exactly nothing. Well, I feel bad for you. Because if you can listen to what I just instructed you with, if you can listen to this and still think that she is not a dangerous champion for everything wrong in the world, then you are a sad person indeed. And now I'll take some calls on all of these topics on the Savage Nation at 855-407-282. We will also continue with our discussion of which amendments she will attack viciously and forcefully to eliminate our freedoms. We know already that she wants to take away the Second Amendment. She absolutely wants to come for your guns using executive orders. That was leaked by Project Veritas, in a conversation with the disgraced ex-senator Russ Feingold. Well, he's not such a Feingold. He's false gold. But Senator False Gold, ex-senator False Gold, had the nerve to say that she will use executive orders to take the guns away from people. Senator False Gold is heard on tape saying, "Nobody needs a gun." This is the Savage Nation. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or swissamerica.com. You know, those of you who've listened to my program for many years know I'm a man of many moods. This is the way I am. I'm not a consistent metronome. I'm not metronomic. Like all human beings, I'm a moody person. Some can do it, hide it. They can't. I don't hide it. I've decided to do a natural show depending upon the state of mind and the mood I'm in. You'll hear my voice change accordingly, meaning it reflects me. It doesn't change. I'm the same person. It's a matter of reflecting the mood I am in. Now, it doesn't affect my thinking. My thinking is extremely logical. I have a mind like a steel trap most of the time, as we used to say back in grad school. But you'll notice there's a change in my tone today, a little change from some other days. And what is affecting, just a little off the track here, making it a little more personal than normal, because talk radio, again, is not television. Talk radio is not politics. Talk radio is a combination of art and science. And as an art form, as a performer, it has to be from the nature. It's not going to work. So I've survived these 20-odd years because of the fact that I tend to give it to you like it is, or tell it like it is, or express myself the way it is. So to make a long story short, you notice I wasn't on the air yesterday, right? Well, it was a very important day for me, religious day for me, where you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. In the Jewish calendar, you're supposed to fast on the Day of Atonement. I've never been very religious, and I'm still not very religious. I just believe in a higher power. I believe in reincarnation. I'm just telling you what I've said 100 times before. People ask me, and they don't even know what I believe in. I certainly believe there's a controlling God who made us and knows our hearts before they even beat, which I wrote the other night as part of this ongoing dialogue with God for the book I'm doing. Which is, God knows what's in our heart before our heart beats. So don't think for a minute you could deceive God for a second. So I'm not talking to you like your children. Many of you are cynical and logical, and you think that this is the worst part of the show. Many of you are very intelligent and God-believing, and you think it's the best part of the show. It's irrelevant what you think. What I'm trying to tell you is that I had a whole day, I thought, to reflect on this world and the next world, and to reflect upon my ancestors and think of my father and my mother and my brother and the way of all flesh. But unfortunately, I violated the desire to fast. I can't fast very well. I never did. I never will. I suffer from blood sugar fluctuations, so I tend to make sure my food level is pretty consistent. And so I went up, I lasted till about 11 o'clock in the morning of not eating. And I went and got a piece of French bread or Italian bread, whatever they make here. I put some avocado into it. I bit into it, and I broke the bond in the lower tooth. I suffered a month ago to have it repaired. The injections, the this, the that, the bone graft. I broke it. So I had to go to the dentist at 3 o'clock. So he's an Iranian, I think an Iranian Christian, a wonderful man. Luckily, he was in the office in San Francisco. I love going into the doctor's offices down on Sutter Street because I love the views. The downtown of San Francisco is quite, it's got a beauty to it, a very grave charm. Let's put it to you that way. It's different than most of the cities. So he said, I told him what happened. I said, I was supposed to fast and I didn't. He said, so God punished you, huh? I said, you know, it's funny. The child in me believed that. Truthfully. But I had a time last night to sit and listen to all of the praying. And I was going in and out with Teddy, in and out, in and out, in and out, because I can't sit too long and listen to that. And, you know, you read the book or the ancient words, you know, well, what do they really apply to you now? It's like on and on about king in heaven and God in heaven. I did this, I did that, and I'm no good, and I'm rotten, and I'm a terrible human being, and I don't deserve a thing. You know, that I'm not into the guilt trip. I had enough of it in my life. But you start to reflect on the whole message. The whole message is one of asking God for forgiveness and extending kindness and mercy to others. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it tends to change you, but not as much as the two vodkas I had in the club across the street right after sundown.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Wouldn't that be nice if we had a leader who could actually bring us together instead of dividing us? Yeah, that would really be nice. When did we last have someone that brought us together? I don't even remember. I don't even remember when that was. So the entire political structure is giant, like a giant talk show fest of both sides demonizing each other and both sides demonizing segments of the population. In the case of Trump, he rationally demonizes, with rational concern and fear, Syrian Muslim males of a young age who might be sleepers. That's a very intelligent thing to do. He also demonized the drug dealers and the drug smugglers in Mexico, which is rational. Any rational nation says, we know where the drugs are coming from. Ask the cops if they don't know where the drugs are coming from. So yeah, there's a rational demonization and an irrational demonization. So who has the nice man in the White House demonized while saying he's a uniter? He's demonized cops, leading to deaths almost every week now. More than once a week, cops go to a domestic disturbance. It's a setup, and they get killed. Why? Because he's painted a target on their backs. He has painted a target on people with any means in this country, even though that's all he associates with. That's all she associates with, are rich people, while attacking Trump as being a rich person. He has put down Christianity by equating it with radical Islam. He has demonized Israeli Jews as being racists for excluding Palestinians. And now, of course, the latest person and latest group of people to be demonized, a whole nation of Russians, in the form of Putin. He wants World War III. She demonized half of Trump supporters as being, whatever the name is, deplorables. She demonized those of us who support Trump as rednecks. And then Bill Clinton himself was heard saying the other day, now, those are actually the people that I grew up with. That's my background. I grew up with the rednecks. I know how they think. Yeah, well, they're the heartbeat of America. They're the guys who drive the pickup trucks. They're the guys who go to the NASCAR races. They're the guys you call upon to fight your phony wars. Yeah, those are your rednecks, all right. And that's why you demonize them, because you hate them. You despise them. They're your cannon fodder. In that sense, the leadership of today is no different than the leadership of years gone by. They also looked down upon the common man and then sent them off to fight their phony wars. We only have to pray that we won't be fighting another phony war that's unnecessary, because there is no reason to go to war with Russia. There's not a scintilla of evidence that there's anything in our national interest to go to war with Russia. And yet that is what is going on right now. Hillary is beating the war drums. Obama is beating the war drums. Kerry the criminal is beating the war drums. They all want a war with Russia. And why? Well, there are many reasons. One of the reasons they all want war with Russia is because their policies are failing. And they know that war is generally good for an economy. They know that there will be near full employment if we have a war. And I mean a real one. Oh, I don't mean a fake war like the one against ISIS that Obama's not been conducting. I'm talking about a real, juicy war with lots of machinery to be gobbled up. Airplanes, tanks, even ships might be built. Wouldn't that be great for the economy? Full employment, ship workers, steel workers. Why, the Bessemer converters would be burning around the clock. The factories would be churning out tanks. Wouldn't that be great? A great ground war in Europe over Ukraine? Is that what we need? Well, that's what the Democrats seem to think we need. And the only one who's opposing it is Donald Trump, the man who said something about women in 2005 that was caught on tape. And so what's the big issue now? It's what Donald Trump said about a woman in 2005 on a party bus, not about the fact that Obama and Hillary are leading us into the jaws of war. And that's a very sad thing. Now, in the past, we would have had people in the media, like myself, perhaps with a larger platform, who would be saying, stop the war drums, stop rattling your sabers, stop it before it's too late. And we'd make the leadership stop it. But I'm a lone voice amongst many. Yeah, all right, the audience is here, the bestsellers are there, I've been doing it for a while, people believe me. And they start to shake their head and say, this guy makes sense. He's right. Even liberals listening to the show right now are saying, you know what, this guy Savage makes sense. I don't want war with Russia. And yet you're rushing headlong to vote for a woman who wants war with Russia. Now, why does Hillary want war with Russia? One, it would give her total control over the economy and over the people. She could censor us under the guise that it's for the sake of the war effort. Number two, and never forget this, and it's a terrible thing to recognize, there are many people in the banking industry who want war. Yes, I know it's an old story, and it sounds like it's been said before. But there are many, many people, especially in the investment bank industry, who would profit greatly from a war with Russia. And never forget the villain behind villains. The villain of all villains, the man who hides behind all the villainy of the world. He would profit greatly by betting on currencies, crashing some of the currencies, destroying nations, just so he could suck more money into his greedy paws. And so, my friends, the war drums are being beaten, the sabers are being rattled. And we, the people, are sitting here talking about a narcissistic businessman from New York who said some things about women in 2005. And that's why I back the narcissistic businessman who said something about women in 2005. Because I am against war. I want peace. I don't want war. The only thing we'll get from that is death and destruction. Now, if Hillary keeps this up, and she keeps up demonizing white people, cops, rednecks, Christians, rich people, Israeli Jews, Russians, if she keeps this up, there's liable to be a civil war in this country. The more I think about it, the worse the prognosis becomes. There is no way if this woman wins, and wins she might do it. No one knows who's going to win this election. I mean, that's why we're still talking about it. If it was a given that she was going to win, we wouldn't even be talking about it. It's neck and neck. One day she's up. That's after they smeared Donald. She's up. Then 2 days later, by the latest Rasmussen poll, he's up by 2 points. So we don't really know what's going to happen. We can't tell. If she should win, there's liable to be a civil war in this country. Because you cannot demonize half the population, especially when that half the population provides 90% of the taxes. You cannot demonize the taxpayers of the nation by calling them filthy names and expect them to lay down for you, especially when you and your husband are the dirtiest pigs the nation has ever seen in such high places. And we all know it's a criminal enterprise. Don't think we're that dumb. Don't think that we're like the stooges at CNN or Fox News, that we think that you're such a nice person with a different set of values. We know that it's as though a criminal gang has taken over the country. And the criminal gang has so triangulated the media. The criminal gang has so triangulated the Congress itself that they think that they are the untouchables. And the only thing that stops the Civil War is the decency of the very people that you are demonizing. But if you push them too far, this could go viral. This could go very bad. You cannot win the election and say, now I'm going to push my agenda. Even though I won by a squeaker, I have a mandate now to crush half the population when 80% of the taxes are paid by half of that population. You can't do it. You will provoke a civil war in this country. She is not the person to think that way, though. She is not the rational person to say, look, I just won a very, very deeply divided nation. And I'm going to represent all the people. I'm going to hear the people I call deplorable. I'm not going to do the things that they fear I'm going to do. I want to lead America to a greater place. She's not the one to do that. She is a mean, vindictive, power-mad psychopath. She will come after this side of the aisle with tooth and claw. Mark my words. And the only question is, will we take it? And I'll let that hang in the air. Because I, for one, don't feel like taking it. I, for one, don't feel like laying down in the last good years of my life to this rotten, stinking criminal enterprise that has seized the government, has seized the media, and has seized the hearts of half the nation. And amongst those half consist mainly people who don't work, or people who are on government dole, or people who collect money directly or indirectly through her, or stupid entertainers who are so stoned out of their gourd they don't know what's up or down, they never did. All they know how to do is play a guitar and wave around the microphone. We don't turn to them for information. We don't turn to them for opinion. We turn to them because they're excellent entertainers. So, my friends, those are the situations as I see them. It's not a good situation. I actually think that Trump, as bombastic as he is, would do the exact opposite of what I just said. He would actually lead us together rather than divide us to conquer us.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I feel like playing some song about watching the world go round, because that's what I'm doing. And I'm shocked that people can be deceived like this. I mean, I've heard everything about the American public, you know, going way back to no one's ever lost money by underestimating the intelligence of the American people. I kind of used to like that one. That was a big one in the 60s. No one's ever gone broke by underestimating the intelligence of the American people. That's quite cynical. But now I'm living through it. When you see an actual gang running the country, it's as though a foreign gang came in with nice clothing and they're running the country, and it's an open gang. It's not even a legitimate group of politicians. They're just a gang. So you say, well, what's the difference between a politician and a gangster? Well, that's the bigger question. I mean, that goes for almost all countries. If you're a big enough gangster, you go into politics. When you make enough money, you clean up your act. And you put down the machine gun and the garrote. Remember The Godfather? Remember that famous scene where the old man is talking to the son, played by Al Pacino? And he says to him, this is after he was shot, and he's kind of weakened at that point. He's looking forward, you know, he's going to die soon. Before that great death scene in the vineyard, the family vineyard, where he collapses next to his grandson. Very touching. But he's speaking to the Michael Corleone character, Al Pacino. And he kind of, the son says, I'm sorry I didn't get any further, Dad. And he says, don't worry, Michael, we didn't have time. You'll get there. We'll get there. A Senator Corleone. He said, I always wanted a Senator Corleone, a Governor Corleone. Well, my friends, look around your country. Please look around your country. What you're seeing is life imitating art. Life has imitated art to such an extent that we think it's not happening. We can't even understand what's happened. Because life goes on. The sky is blue. Clouds are white, the stadiums are filled, the cup runneth over, so we don't even know what's going on around us. And yet, despite the fact that an outright gang has taken over this country, the Democrat machine is an absolute gangster machine. There's no question in my mind. And the reason the Republicans are so gulled, the reason the Republican Party goes along with it is because they're not too far behind and they're meeker. They're intimidated by them. They're frightened. And they throw them enough of the largesse that they're stealing from the taxpayer that the Republicans, you know, just basically keep quiet about it. They dummy up and go along because they're making plenty of money. They're supplying their donors with what they need, and they just don't care what the gang does one way or the other. There's no country to them. Never mind the title of the movie, No Country for Old Men. Just add no country, period. No country for anybody. So Hillary is on record saying she wants no borders. She wants the country run by the bankers. Those would be the investment bankers who want war. The reason investment bankers want war is because, A, they don't fight them. B, their children don't fight them. C, the profits are so grotesque that it's almost irresistible to not go to war. And that's why you hear the demonization of Russia every day. Russia did this, Russia hacked that. Although the emails showed she was a no-good, dirty scoundrel, it was Russia who leaked them. Therefore, that's a bigger story than what's in the emails. You hear this? You hear what's going on? So who's buying this story? 50% of the population that can vote. And amongst that 50%, about 40% of them pay no taxes. And who's not buying the story? About 50% of the population, amongst whom 80% are paying the taxes. Now, if it was a fair nation, only taxpayers would be able to vote. I say that all in all sincerity. I certainly have said for years, and I'm on my record saying it, if you are on welfare, you should lose the right to vote until you are back on your feet paying taxes. Period. End of story. You're on welfare. You don't vote. Why should you have a vote equal to someone who's killing themselves, breaking their behind 70, 60 hours a week to pay a tax? Why should you vote equal to them? What kind of nation is that? An insane nation. An insane asylum. That's what we have. And that will explain how a gang can take over a country. Because if the gang gives you enough benefits and you've produced nothing and you're just a slacker, you're going to vote for the gang. You don't care what they're doing, right? I can't be any clearer than I've been today. I'm very clear. I know exactly what I'm saying. My mind is more focused today and clearer than it's been in a long time. And I think I've given you quite enough for one day. So you can close your notebooks now. Put your pens, I remember being a teacher. And now you can relax because we're just going to have some fun. We're going to take some calls. No more information. You follow? No more information today. Nothing on the final exam and what I'm about to say from now until the end of the show. We'll just take some calls right now, and I think that's the greatest thing to do. Sean on KLIF in Dallas, Texas. You're on the Savage Nation. Sean, what's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to read a full passage from your new book, Scorched Earth, and it reads...
2 seconds remain. Fire away. Go, go, go.
You are hearing loud outcries against Donald Trump and the rising forceful eddies. You're hearing them described as bigots, racists, anti-women, anti-Semites, and homophobic. But those voices will eventually dim. The shouters will be reduced to the marginal characters that they've always been. They'll be put back into the boxes they came from.
Well, let's hope that those prophetic words come to pass from Scorched Earth. And I'm glad you found that in the passage. It gives you some hope. How are we going to put them in the box? How are we going to stop these evil people from doing this? That's the question.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, who's demonizing who? Well, let's start with the president. He's demonized an awful lot of groups, and yet he says demonization is terrible because it divides a nation. He's demonized white people. He's demonized cops, rich people, Christians, Israeli Jews. He's demonized Putin. He's demonized rednecks. And he says, like he's above the law, don't demonize people. Now, in talk radio, we always demonize people. There's not a person in talk radio that I know of who does not build his entire show every day about without demonizing the other side. It's just what it is. It's the way of the world. They demonize us, we demonize them. So the day you say you can't demonize the other side is the day you say there should not be any controversy. And say, well, you see, we believe in freedom of the press, but you can no longer have a website that's going to demonize anyone, see? So that's the end of the First Amendment. Because as I've told you 100 times, if I've told it to you once, never forget this. I'm proudly the only member of the American media who's actually been banned from entering Britain to this day. Yes, I'm not allowed to enter Britain because I was demonized. Unfairly, doesn't matter, no matter who won, they all lied, they wouldn't take me off the list. Because I was demonized by the Labour Party, the Socialist Islamist Party, demonized me in order to make Muslims feel better. And what I'm getting at is, My rights have been violated by Britain. Did the journalists of America rush to my defense? I don't know who did. Did the journalists who were saying that Trump is a threat to press freedom rush to my defense? No. Did Hillary Clinton, the great defender of human rights, rush to my defense? No. Who rushed to my defense? Nobody to speak of. So I'm not sitting here like a victim. What I'm telling you is that there are real-life consequences to demonization. And the left has demonized me. And I've been demonized, and I cannot enter Britain. And as you well know, I want to go there for the famous dental work of the National Health Service, and I can't all these years. I also want to go there for the famous British cuisine. Unfortunately, I've not been able to have this British cuisine all these years since 2009 because of the demonization. But in all seriousness, I love the British people. That is before it became Islamicized. I always loved going to Britain. I don't even know if I could take going there and seeing what they've allowed to happen to that nation. I don't think I could go to Paris ever again and see what they've allowed to happen through weakness and foolishness, to see their nations decimated by an invasion, a veritable invasion. My only question is, will we be able to stop Hillary from doing that to this nation? Will we? I don't know. I don't know. The only person that would stop it is Donald Trump. She wins, there's liable to be a civil war. See, the difference between America, Britain, America, and France is that we have a Second Amendment. We are also protected with the First Amendment. They don't have that either. I don't know if you know that. That's what made us unique. Did you know that? Did you know that those two amendments alone make us unique amongst Western democracies? They have no First Amendment rights in England or in France, so far as I know. And they certainly don't have any Second Amendment rights as we do. That's what makes us unique. So when you hear that we are unique as a nation, the reason the founders created this nation this way is so that we would not become serfs ever again. That the ancestors who fled here and built this nation fled a system where they were serfs in their own land. And they didn't want to become a serf again. But you look around at this nation. Are you telling me that no matter how much money you really have power in this country, unless you buy off a politician, unless you pay one of these gangster criminals off with a donation, you have virtually no power in this nation? You could be crushed like a bug. They could indict a ham sandwich. They can indict you for anything they want, unless you have protexia from the criminal gangsters in Congress. You have nothing. Or you buy a judge, let's say, behind the scenes. You have nothing. You have no power. We're not living in this fantasy of a republic. We haven't been living in this fantasy of a republic for a very long time. That's if we ever did. See, I don't know if it was ever any different. I know there are people who wax on and on about America, what it was, what it could be. Well, what it could be are two different, and what it was and what it is are three different things. What it was, what it will be. Forget all of that. What you got to do is look at the candidates right now, because that's all we're focused on. One of them stands for a laissez-faire capitalism. That's Trump. The other one stands for a laissez-faire crony socialism. That's Hillary Clinton. Meaning, let the crony socialists do as they will and let everyone go to hell. That's what she stands for. And so I think the battle lines are very clear. And again, I'll have to say to you, those of you who pay taxes know what's at stake. Those of you who are either receiving a government grant, work for a government on any level, whether it be local, federal, or state, or are living on an inheritance that you got from one of your parents, you would be for Hillary because you like fascism. You actually like it. You want fascism. You're afraid of the rest of us. You're terrified of the rest of us. You don't like us having guns. You don't like us having the microphones. You don't like us having the internet power that we have. You don't want it. You would like to live in your own dreamland, and the only way to live in that dreamland is to silence us and to control us. So those are the battle lines in this election. Again, I think it's a cogent description of what we are living through. Let's go to Mike on WABC. Mike, line two, thank you so much for holding. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I'm a lifelong union member, two generations, and I see firsthand how communism and socialism works inside my union. All the fat cats, the guys that have the official jobs, the union jobs, the business agents, the treasuries, were guys that were non-productive on the outside where they couldn't even hammer a nail. But they knew the EEO books, they knew the rules and regulations and how to screw the boss and stuff like that, and that's how they rose in ranks.
In other words, no-show jobs, guys sitting around on a construction site fanning themselves with electric fans while the other guys are sweating their behinds off. And they're collecting bigger salaries. I mean, we all know what that's all about. We've watched enough movies to know it. Have things changed at all in the union world, Mike? Or same as it always been?
No. Well, most of the union members are for Trump, and it's killing the international, local. We never forget that Donald Trump, he built all his buildings of union labor, which I cannot believe the local unions are forgetting that.
You know, that's such an important point. When we keep hearing smear jobs on Trump, why don't we hear that he used union labor all along the way? All along the way that he built his buildings, he used union labor. Why is that not being told?
Well, they don't want anybody to know that.
Why? Because Wolf Blitzer and the other little men, the Lilliputians, control what the people hear.
Yeah.
My friend, I will send you the Ten Commandments of Reality, the Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Malbama, now the fourth week on the New York Times bestseller list. Now, I could tell you that as an immigrant son, I think I have a special place in the American media. I don't know how many people in the media that you listen to are actually connected at all to with the immigration experience. Can you name anyone in talk radio who is? No. Is there anyone in talk radio who is an immigrant's son? No. I'm proud to tell you I am. And I was raised in a house that was Democrat because they were poor and they felt that the Democrats were for them while the Republicans were for the, quote, big guy. So I think about the refugee crisis every day. But I keep asking myself, why do I oppose relocating 100,000 Syrian refugees into this nation? Now, the embarrassing point is that people will always compare this situation to the Jews and the Holocaust. It's a very uncomfortable reality, but they do. The Holocaust is the underlying motif of the entire liberal establishment's view of immigration. The emotional substratum of this entire argument is based upon the Jews in Nazi Germany. But it's a false argument. It's a false one on so many levels. I'm sure you can figure out why it's false and why the narrative is being used by those who want to flood the United States with refugees for their own reasons. For example, Lutheran Family Services is accepting refugees only for the money. It's on board with Turban Durban, demanding not 10,000 but at least 100,000 refugees because they make fortunes off of them. They're doing it because Lutheran Family Services is run by greedy pigs. They're doing it because they make money off of it. There's great self-interest. The same is true of the greedballs who run Catholic charities. There's not a scintilla of Catholicism in Catholic charities. It's run by businessmen. There's a lot of greed, and the comparison to the Jews fleeing Germany during the Holocaust is an unsound analogy for a number of reasons. It's not Jews running from the gas chambers. This is Muslims running toward financial gain at your expense. The fact of the matter is that wherever they go, be it Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Germany, the Muslim refugees abuse the social service welfare systems. How can we take care of refugees when we have so many indigenous poor already? What, is everybody here rich? All of a sudden the country is rolling in money? All of a sudden Obama has cleared up everything in the country and there are no poor in this nation who need the help of the government? There's something wrong with this picture. I'll stop right there. Those are two pages from Scorched Earth, which is why it's a bestseller, because it makes sense, and it needs to be talked about before the election. KSFO, Murray, thank you for calling. Line 3, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, it's great to finally talk to you. I've been listening to you for 20 years.
Wow, long time. Long time talker, first time hearer.
Yeah, since you were filling for Easton, and I thought, wow, this guy is so...
Oh, my God. You heard one of my first fill-in shows back in the day on KGO? That's awesome.
That's it, man. And so I said, wow, this guy is so different. But then, you know, like you said, you get addicted, and it's like, hey, when you're off, and like, where's Michael? But
well, yeah, because, let me tell you, I can guarantee you that you were once a liberal in your life. Is that right?
I heard you all the time talking and tying in the scriptures and the Bible to the world events, and I agree 100%. You know,
but let me ask you politically, were you at one point a social liberal?
Separation of church and state. It's a positive.
He's not hearing a word, Robert. You have to modulate this better. Murray, can you hear a word I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Gone with the wind. All right, that happens. That's radio. Stuff like that happens. It shows that my callers are not set-up callers like most in the business. They're actually natural callers. I don't own them, and we don't call them. We don't robocall them in advance. At least you know it. So it explains why things break down from time to time. KUGN, that's Eugene, Oregon, Stephen, line 5. That opens up a line, by the way, to Savage Nation, 855-472-8282. Let's go to Eugene, Oregon. Stephen on line 5, what's on your mind? Go ahead, fire away, 30 seconds or less.
Yeah, greetings. You know, we're in a dire and dangerous time right now. These people who don't realize that the U.S. pushing Russia to go into a conflict in, over Syria. They tried it in Ukraine. They couldn't get away with it. So now they're trying it in Syria to try to prod Russia once again into a conflict. And this time, Russia's not going to back down. I've been following everything about Russia and Putin for years now, and he is not going to back down this time. And what we're
we got to talk about this. First of all, a report came out today that I saw in the Drudge Report. America is plotting to allow 9,000 ISIS murderers to escape so they can attack Russian troops. You saw that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So why is Obama scrambling for a war? Why does he want war right now?
The point is, they're not going to get away with a conventional war. somebody's going to lob a nuke. I mean, these neocons and crazies in Washington think they can start a conventional war with Russia, and if things go bad, that they'll initiate the first strike. Russia and Putin, he's not going to put up with this anymore. He's already...
Putin is a judo expert. Obama is a community organizer. Putin's been in many fist fights. Obama's never been in one in his entire life. He's gotten away with it through many, many different techniques, including the fact that he owns the media, and he's also the most silk-smooth salesman in the history of the world. But he doesn't truly understand what he's dealing with here with Putin, does he?
Not at all. And the point is, Putin's been warning us for years now, ever since the Ukraine, they tried to drag him into the Ukraine conflict. He's been saying, we're not going to take this. You guys cannot keep pushing us like this. And he's right. He's a very reasonable, brilliant man. Most people don't have any idea about him.
So let me ask you, though. Let's do this for the audience listening to the show, and I want to continue this. It's very important. It's so much more important than Donald Trump's comments on a party bus in 2005, but don't try to tell that to the American press corps. They're not interested in anything except what Britney Spears ate last night. Let's assume that the American Air Force shoots down several Russian jets, and I have no doubt our pilots are 100% better than the Russian pilots for a number of reasons. We have better airplanes and they have better training, and I hope that they win. But let's say we shoot down 5, 6, 7, 8 Russian aircraft in a dogfight. What happens next?
Well, one thing for sure, there may be a false flag that'll start that right into what you just said. But the point is, I mean, I'm very objective and factual. I've been following Russia and Putin for years.
Hold on a minute. Here's what we're going to do in the next few minutes of this show. We're going to speculate what Putin is going to do after Obama starts the antagonism by going into a limited air war. There's going to be first a dogfight. Mark my words, air war. They're going to try to take out the Russian Air Force and the few planes Syria has. What happens next? We'll speculate together on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So what's emerging on the world stage right now is that tomorrow, Friday, your Chicken Hawk president is going to meet with his sorority to decide how best to engage Syrian military options. That's tomorrow. It's a very big day tomorrow. Normally, these things come down at the end of the workday. And he will talk with the girls who have so successfully destroyed the Republican Party and all opposition in this country about how to destroy Russia and Syria. And you see, the reason is because Syrian and Russian aircraft are continuing to pummel Aleppo. Aleppo was the last holdout of the vermin in ISIS. All of a sudden now, we're supporting those rapists, the murderers, those who set people on fire while they're alive, those who rape eight-year-old girls. They're our allies, you see. And Obama doesn't like that. See, to him, they're moderate terrorists. They are a moderate terrorists. And so what is he going to do? No one knows what he's going to do. They want to stop the civil war. That's not really the reason. It has nothing to do with the civil war. They could care less. They know that the rebel-held eastern Aleppo is going to fall to the Russian, Iranian-backed Syrian president Bashar al-Assad, and they don't want that to happen. They want their so-called moderate terrorists, who they call moderate rebels, who are they're not moderate rebels. There is no such thing as a moderate rebel or a moderate terrorist. They are all Islamists. They were encouraged by Obama in their attempt to overthrow Assad. Let's cut it down to the brass tacks here, all of you idiots out there who think I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you want war with Russia? Schmendrick, you moron, you big liberal. You anti-war liberal. Now you want war with Russia, you idiot. Do you see what you become because you've been hoodwinked by Hillary and him?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's not astounding to me. I've always known liberalism is a mental disorder. And we see it more clearly today than ever before. Here you have Hillary and Obama, both riding the wave of the 60s. Yes, the 60s it is. Putting out the same big lies about women and minorities and the disabled and the this one and the immigrants. The same garbage while they rip the country off left and right. And now we're on the cusp of a war with Russia over Syria. And most Americans don't want war. Doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. They don't want war. We know that there's no such thing as a moderate rebel. We know that that was a big lie created by Anderson Cooper. The whole idea of what? The architects and teachers ran into the hills to defeat Assad. You ever bought that lie? They're moderate terrorists. That's what they are. So now we support moderate terrorists, and we wanted them to overthrow Assad without even asking ourselves what would replace the Assad government. Have the morons who run this country thought about what replaced Gaddafi before they killed him? He begged us not to kill him, and Hillary laughed. She said, we came. We saw. He died. And all of the hens behind her cackled. They loved killing Gaddafi. They didn't care what followed the death of Gaddafi. All they knew was is they killed Gaddafi, and they felt good about it. He warned us, Gaddafi did, that if we killed him, what did he say? Basically, tribes or gangs would take over the country, tribal leaders, and they did. That's what's gone on in Libya. So now we have Africans pouring into Europe as a result of the death of Gaddafi. Hillary owns that. We have millions of Syrians pouring into Europe and into America, hundreds of thousands at this point, millions into Europe as a result of Hillary and Obama's failed policies. But instead of admitting that they were wrong with their Arab Spring policies and bringing democracy to these destitute, backwards, barbarian nations, instead of admitting it, they're doubling down. Now they want to confront Russia in a direct war. And that's going to happen tomorrow. There's going to be a meeting tomorrow for the great war leader, Barack Obama, who has never fired a BB gun, so far as I can tell. He's in the, hey, whatever happened? Here's a secondary question that occurred to me the other night. I think it should be a requirement that anyone who runs for the presidency have served in the military at a command level. I think that's a great idea because they are commander-in-chief, aren't they? Now, how could you take a crackpot community organizer and make him commander-in-chief and expect something good to come of it? How could you take a criminal crony capitalist like Hillary Clinton and make her commander-in-chief and have the troops not revolt? There'll be a civil war inside the military if she wins. You're not going to believe what will happen. They will not take it. It's bad enough him. Could you imagine her when most of the people in the military are very intelligent? And they're willing to give their lives to defend the nation and the Constitution. They're going to see this gangster regime running the military and telling them to go fight Russia. You believe they're going to put up with that? You know, countries crumble from corruption. And they collapse. And so the war drums are being beaten not by Donald Trump. The war drums are being beaten not by the Republicans. But the war drums are being beaten by the peaceniks. They want military action against Russia. Because the truce with Russia collapsed. So let's look at what would happen. Well, what will happen is, you're not going to believe what will happen because it's happening already. There's an article now that Obama's considering giving safe passage to 9,000 ISIS vermin out of the besieged town before the Russians and Syrians get in there so they can then fight the Russians on Syrian soil. Can you believe how sick this is? The people who have been raping, pillaging, murdering, burning people alive are going to be protected by the U.S. military and the U.S. Air Force so they can then fight Russia. Have you ever seen anything as disgustingly sick in your lifetime? What would you expect from a deceiver like Barack Obama? Would you expect honesty? You know, the chickens are coming home to roost, as they say. And unfortunately, they're liable to turn into hawks, these chickens. So let's look at Assad and what he actually did. What was so bad about Assad? And why is this, I have to say this very carefully about the president. He's an Islamophile. It's the best word I can come up with. Any other word doesn't apply. He's Islamophilic. I don't know why that hasn't been stolen from me yet, but he's an Islamophile and he's Islamophilic. Bashar Assad and his father protected the Christians in Syria, which is one of the most ancient Christian communities on the planet. Does that help you understand why Barack Hussein Obama wants Assad gone? You don't understand the two? You can't put two and two together? Okay, so that's number one. I know you don't care about Christians. But number two, why are we in the Middle East at all? The Muslims hate Americans. The Muslims hate Christians. The Muslims hate Jews. I'm talking about most Muslims in the Middle East. They want to destroy this nation in order to usher in their, quote, 12th imam. Although I actually think he's already appeared in America, and he's not at number 10 Downing Street. If you study apocalyptic Muslim theology, you will understand how insane this is, what Obama's about to do and what Hillary wants to do. Why have we been giving arms and money to Islamist rebels? Why? What did we give them arms and money for? Didn't we learn anything from knocking off Gaddafi and creating the refugee crisis after he fell? Russia is 100% right. We are 100% wrong. Assad may be a horrible, brutal dictator, but he can keep the Islamic nutcases under control and keep Syria stable, which is better than having Obama overthrow Assad, risking a nuclear war with Russia, and spawning Islamic jihadis around the planet. They all hate you and hate this country. So tomorrow, October 14th, 2016, do you know what that date will be? That's the date Obama is going to meet with his sorority sisters to find out what to do about Russia. Well, do you know what happened on October 14th, 52 years ago? It's when JFK sat down with his Democrat advisors to figure out what to do with the Russians who were putting atomic missiles in Cuba. And tomorrow, Obama will be doing the same thing all over again, except he will be trying to cover up his dirty mess in Syria with his fake red line. One thing you have to know is this. Obama is not JFK. And we, the American people, are stupider than we were then. And we're liable to start a war that we cannot win. There's an old rule in fights. Never start a war with someone who you're not sure you can beat. But you would expect that to come from a man who's been in battle or a person who's lived in real life. You would not expect that to come from a group of devious, backstabbing, anti-American girls who run the United States of America. And I'll rest at that point. I'll stop right there. But if you want to join this conversation on what will Russia do if this weaselly peacenik dictator uses the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Special Forces to give safe passage to 9,000 ISIS murderers so that these ISIS murderers can then go out on the battlefield and butcher Russians and Syrians, tell me what Russia's going to do next. Because I can pretty much tell you what Russia's going to do next. Russia, I'll just say it like it is, I'm not in the Pentagon, but if I were, and I was asked to think clearly as a free thinker, who's known for a very logical thought process, it's really simple what Russia will do. They will atomize the 9,000 fighters with the tactical nuclear weapons. Any other questions? What are we going to do then? Are we going to attack Vladivostok and flatten Vladivostok with a limited nuclear strike? And what do you think Russia's going to do? Say goodbye to Honolulu. Say goodbye to Hawaii. You know, this is eerie to me as I'm reading this war diary here in my head. It's eerie to me because in the 1980s, I wrote a fictionalized novel about this very thing. And I found it a few months ago. I had it written up. I was going to post it as an ebook about 3 months ago. I had a cover drawn for it. I figured it'd be a limited sale of it for like 3,000-4,000 books. I didn't care. It's all about a nuclear war, limited nuclear war between Russia and the U.S. And it's eerie to me right now because here I am facing it. And I wrote this in the 1980s. I have a fictionalized story about it. Maybe I should rush it out right now in the middle of the season of scorched earth. Maybe I should. I can put it up on Amazon literally in 2 days. I'm telling you, I just may do this. This is insane. But I imagine what would happen. And I imagine which targets would be chosen in a limited nuclear exchange. And you say he's crazy, it can't happen. Your madman in the White House, your egomaniac in the White House is liable to go to war with Russia, not so much over Assad, but over something else. And that's over his very, very damaged, frail ego. He has suppressed everyone on the planet except one man. And that's Putin. And there was a very famous picture when they met at the G8 summit of the lanky Obama staring down the shorter man, Putin. And Obama gave him a death stare unlike any you've ever seen, because he hates anybody who stands up to him. He is so frail of ego and so terrified of being wrong that he must suppress and crush every opponent on the planet. And that's why this man is more dangerous than ever. He is actually in a state of... He's putting us in the greatest stage of danger that we've ever been under his mad reign. And you've seen nothing yet. So tomorrow is the big day. You know, tomorrow's the big day. So if you care to speculate with me on what's liable to happen in a war game, and I would appreciate mainly callers who are either actively in the military or actually in the NSA, no, not the NSA, sorry, in the CIA, who care to blow the whistle on what they fear could happen. I'd like to clear the lines of anyone except people who are actually government employees, current or past, who can tell us what they think could happen in a war that Obama seems to be in love with. This is the Savage Nation. Stay tuned.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So the party of war, which is, of course, the Democrat Party, never forget it was the Democrats who got us into... Have you forgotten World War II? Have you forgotten those Democrats who got us into... Have you forgotten the Vietnam War? Did you forget that the Democrats are the party of war because the military-industrial complex makes the Democrats billions and billions and trillions of dollars? So tomorrow is the day that Obama will meet with his sorority to decide how to take on Russia. And there's a rumor leaking out now that he will give safe passage using our boys, our airplanes, our men to defend the 9,000 vermin who are going to flee from their stronghold as the Russians and Syrians are about to clamp down and destroy them once and for all. We're going to give safe passage to the people who have committed these atrocities. So now you understand which side Obama has been on all along. I mean, it's coming out is what is happening. And you talk about a legacy. The legacy is a nightmare. Hillary is no different. She's called Putin. She called him Hitler, I think, a year and a half to 2 years ago. Never forget that her and Obama are one and the same when it comes to being warmongers. Her and Obama want to use the same exact tactic to cover up the crimes of the Democrat Party and their own personal crimes and failures with a war. Now, here's the question that someone has raised in this story. His name is Truthmonger, and I don't know who it is or she is. But Truthmonger says, what would be the legal standing attacking a sovereign country which is in the process of retaking her own territories from U.S.-backed al-Qaeda terrorists without UN approval and congressional war declaration? Are these people this arrogant and crazy? Russia has already said they will shoot the U.S. missiles and planes down. Truthmonger then asks, are our unhinged Washington criminals ready to provoke nuclear World War III with Russia over al-Qaeda? The same al-Qaeda against we allegedly waged a 15-years-old phony war on terror? The Russians already have had civil defense drills just recently with 40 million people in case of approaching World War III. Did you read about that? The Russians are practicing with civil defense drills for 40 million Russian people. They're building hardened bunkers for their leadership. And you've got this phony golfing psychotic in the White House playing games, war games with him. Russia won't back down. Especially not since they have the upper hand with their very new advanced defense-evading ICBMs and other nuclear weapons over our 70s vintage nuclear junk. We have zero defense against zigzagging, altitude-changing, hyperspeed Russian nukes, while their missile defense is second to none. The end result would be that they would shoot down most of our 70s garbage, while they would destroy America forever in about 30 minutes. He then asks, why is al-Qaeda so precious for our neocon criminals in Washington? This is the time, he says, for the American people to hit the streets and demand the arrest of those who want to commit horrendous crimes against humanity. Good luck. Just good luck. And so this is a very serious business here with this clown president, We hear that there are a lot of clowns out there terrifying people, but there is no greater clown than Obama trying to act like he's a serious commander-in-chief. This clown is now pushing us to the brink of a shooting war with Russia that we have no business even fighting. Moreover, it's a war we cannot win. Let me repeat that again. Call me a defeatist if you want. We can't win the war. For the last 8 years, Obama has been weakening, destroying the United States military on every level. Everything he could touch, he's destroyed. And never forget who he's put into command positions. The woman who runs the Air Force, as I point out in Scorched Earth, never flew a plane. The woman who is running the U.S. Navy, yes, sir! Yes, sir! The woman he put in charge of the U.S. Navy cannot pilot a Chris Craft boat. She's in charge of the U.S. Navy. Compare them to the Russian men. Men. Battle-hardened men running the Russian military. Meanwhile, our military's trying to figure out how to put transgender bathrooms in a submarine. Or how to create combat boots that will accommodate high heels on the battlefield. That's our military under this clown in the White House. Pay attention, my friends. It's the peacenik liberals who are bringing us to the brink of a nuclear war. Never forget who's doing it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Isn't it odd that we're talking about war games and war scenarios with the most peacenik-oriented president in history? He won a Nobel Prize for peace before he even opened his yap. The morons in Sweden gave him the Nobel Prize. The same idiots who gave Bob Dylan the Nobel Prize in literature, even though he's never written a book. It just shows you, because Bob Dylan is a fabulous poet and a musician, which he is, and I adore him for that. But all of his lyrics are anti-American. They're all peacenik lyrics. Very popular, very good folk songy, leftist lyrics. So now he's a genius in literature. My friends, do you understand what we're facing here with these lunatics in the White House? Do you have any idea now that the whole thing is coming down to a showdown with Russia, that they're actually going to have to put their money where their mouths are, and they're dealing with a man who will really like to take them and beat them up? It's terrible to think that we're going to lose men because of these stupid people running the country and their greedy minions behind them in the military-industrial complex. And I'll repeat it again, as horrible as Assad is, Assad protected the Christian and Jewish communities in the Middle East for his entire life, as did his father. If the Islamists take over, as the Islamophilic president would like, the Christians will be slaughtered in Syria, the Jews will be slaughtered in Syria, and yet we have liberal Christians and liberal Jews in America who don't even understand this. I'm not surprised that they don't understand it. They don't do this for a living. It's not that they're stupid. They don't have time to even study these things, and they only know what the newspapers tell them. And so while we're talking today on the Savage Nation about a showdown with Russia that Obama wants, he seems to want it. He's having a meeting tomorrow. Remark my words. Tomorrow, the 14th, he's meeting with their geniuses. You ever see them in the Situation Room, the War Room? It's frightening to see who's behind this country. A bunch of weaklings like I've never seen in my life. It's like looking inside a college faculty lounge. They're going to make a decision as to how to best deal with Putin. And how to make sure that Assad is destroyed. What, without losing a single American boy? That certainly isn't a factor. But what happens if this sorority engages Russia and we really get our butts whipped? What a horrible day that would be for this country. It's not bad enough the lack of morale. It's getting late in the day. The lack of morale in the military is at an all-time low because of this community organizer and what he's done to the command structure. But what would happen if, God forbid, our inferior F-22s get shot down by less costly, less technologically advanced, but much cheaper to build swarms of Russian fighter jets? And what if they use their Su-27s? What if the Soviets, who could deploy infrared search and track systems on all their MiG-29s, by the way, which they have their infrared search and track systems not only on their antiquated old MiG-29s, but on their old Su-27s. They also have anti-stealth radars. So the F-22, as impressive as it is fundamentally useless against modern Russian radars. No, the F-22 is a great plane. Very, very impressive airplane. But my friends in a battle with Russia will be able to lose some of them. Again, this is from a non-military man using common sense and factual data and history to tell you that if the United States under this clown and his clownettes should choose to go to war with Putin, we're liable to lose, and then it won't be a joke. It'll be a horrible story for all of us. So let's take some of the callers on this topic, because I think we're going to wake up tomorrow. We're going to see more about it. Well, unless, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I could be wrong. This is such a boring topic, isn't it? That Obama might go to war with Russia over Assad. Isn't it more interesting to talk about the fact that Donald Trump kissed a woman on the cheek on an airplane 50 years ago? Think about a knockout she must have been 50 years ago, the hag, that the Obamaites, the Hillaryites dug up from the crypt. They find a hag that they dig up from the crypt. She was on an airplane, he kissed her on the cheek 50 years ago. Stop the presses, Wolf Blitzer just had an overload. Stop the presses, Jake Tapper just had to throw down another antidepressant. Stop the presses, that's the most important story. Donald Trump smacked a woman on the lips with his lips 50 years ago on an airplane. That's certainly more important than talking about F-22s versus Su-27s, isn't it? My friends, I told you that I woke up this morning, and actually last night after a day of meditation, I had decided that I was going to try to deal with a more peaceful approach to the world and to my talk show, which I am doing, by the way, because when you listen to what I'm actually saying, this is the most anti-war show you're going to hear all day, maybe all week, maybe all month, maybe all year. This is an anti-war show. And who is calling for war? Is it the conservatives? No. Is it Donald Trump? No. He wants peace with Putin. So who's calling for war? Hillary Clinton. Why does Hillary Clinton want war with Russia? Do you think she actually cares about Syrian refugees? When you look at her behavior and the Clinton Foundation, you think they care about anything but self-aggrandizement and feathering their own nests? I don't, personally. So what is it that Hillary wants a war with Russia for? Why? Because it's good for business. Take a look at who she gave her speeches for. Two. What groups? Getting $350,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a speech. Goldman Sachs, other investment banks. They're fine firms, but they're run by people. They're just run by human beings. And as human beings generally think about themselves and their own self-interest. So if you were running a gigantic investment bank, what would you be thinking about? You'd be thinking about advancing your business. You wouldn't care about the morality of your business. You'd think about whether you can get away with it. You would care less about the morality of it, whether the chemicals that your chemical company makes is poisoning people and killing, giving children cancer. It really means nothing to you. All that matters is the bottom line. What do you make from supporting that chemical company that makes those pesticides that cause the cancer in the children that are dying in the hospitals? If it doesn't affect you, why does it matter? And so that's where a government steps in. A legitimate and fair government steps into capitalists and say, look, we're a capitalist society. We believe in capitalism. We're not out to put you out of business, but you're not going to produce that chemical anymore because it's killing people. So just forget about it. That's what a legitimate government does. But when you have the business side and the banking side literally controlling the government, there is no government. It's no longer a government whatsoever. That's who Hillary Clinton represents. And in a nutshell, that's why they hate Donald Trump, because they have no inroads to him. They don't know what he's liable to do. It's liable to be very bad for business. And if it's bad for business, therefore he has to be stopped. So what you do is you get the morons out there, of those who vote, 50% of them love Hillary Clinton, because 80% of that 50% don't work. 80% of that 50% don't pay any taxes. 80% of that 50% just suck us dry. 80% or more of that 50%, all they do is go to doctors and take welfare. They take everything they can get out of we the taxpayer. And on the other side of America, that's us, our side, 50%, we pay 80% or more of all the taxes. And although we know Trump has this flaw and that flaw, we know it all. We're not stupid. We know he's a P.T. Barnum, but we also know that he's not owned lock, stock, and barrel by the same interest that Hillary and Obama are owned by. Is that exactly what I'm trying to say to you? Yes. Did I finally make my point as to where his popularity arises from? I hope that I have, because what you're hearing is not for the first time that I've said it, number one, nor is it as cogent as this anywhere in radio right now, except in Scorched Earth, which, by the way, is on the best-sell list in the New York Times for the fourth week in a row. Yes, if I'm not for myself, who will be you? And if I'm only for myself, what am I? A bore. So there it is. So, my friends, if we start a war with Russia, we're going to lose. And I'll tell you why we're going to lose. I'll make it as simple as I can. Obama is not a fighter. He's a sneak. He's a sneak, a backstabber. He's never been in a fist fight in his life. He's never shot a rifle. He's fighting a man who is a trained judo expert. He's not only hardened in the personal sphere, which is very important to remember, because there are two adversaries here. You've got one who gets away with everything he does because he's tremendously supported by a backup of the press and popular opinion, but he doesn't actually understand the results of what he's doing, or he wouldn't do half the things he does. In that sense, he's like a deranged teenager. On the other side, you have a man who's very cold and clear and calculating, who ran the Russian KGB. And I'm not supporting the Russian KGB. Don't put me in that class. I am talking from the outside, looking at a battle that is emerging because of a lunatic in the White House and the girl who wants to follow him, if you want to call her that. I don't think she... Well, let's not go there. I don't think Hillary was ever a girl. She's the kind of woman who was never a girl. Do you ever see little girls who always look like women? That's what she reminds me of. I was like, when she was 3 years old, she must have looked like a woman. You say, well, that's a good thing, is it? It'd be a good thing if she was a woman who actually cared about anything but herself and her own power and her family's power. And that's why it's a bad thing. So, look, I got to take some calls here. This is a great topic. It's a very long topic. We're talking about what would a war between Russia and the USA look like. It's that simple. Now, I know it's not as interesting as what you're going to hear on tonight's ABC News, which is that Trump kissed a woman on the cheek on an airplane 50 years ago, and she was hot stuff. Well, they're liable to even show pictures of her 50 years ago when she was hot stuff. That's the biggest story, of course, to the average moron out there who watches television or sees this woman with an overly fat behind everywhere you turn. A sick, psychotic family. Every minute you turn, there's another one of them in the news. I never saw anything like this. But this is the nation we live in. And who eats up that news? Why, 50% of the population, amongst whom 80% pay no taxes. And that's why this country is doomed. Because if you are on welfare or receiving government assistance of any kind, you should lose the right to vote temporarily and regain the right to vote when you are self-sufficient. Otherwise, you will be subject to demagoguery, and you will always vote for the person who promises to give you more things for free. And that's how we have a man of such low character as Barack Obama in power for 8 straight years, and a woman of such criminal background as Hillary Clinton this close to the nuclear football, because 50% of the population, of whom 80% pay no taxes, want more things for free. Oleg on WDRC, line 1, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to join the conversation. First, I'd like to thank you for everything you're doing. I'm a physician like you are, and I'm...
No, hold it. I'm not a physician. I'm a PhD, not an MD. But go on. Oleg, you are a Russian doctor. What do you think will happen in the war?
I think we will face a terrible thing, and majority of people do not understand what the Russians are. They will never back off, and it will be a disaster. And the way I see it, any sane person wouldn't wish for it.
Yeah, no sane person on earth would be pushing Putin by calling him Hitler and saying, we're going to beat you on the battlefield and we're going to... Did you hear the latest report that I'm getting agitated over? The report today is that Obama is going to give the 9,000 bloodthirsty rapists and murderers that are in ISIS safe passage out of the city where they're about to be destroyed by Russian and Syrian troops. He's going to give them safe passage, 9,000 ISIS murderers, so they can go on the battlefield and kill Russians. Did you see that?
Absolutely, and it's actually impossible to understand. And if really we all understand what Obama stands for, he definitely doesn't stand for the America's interests.
When some people in radio called him a demon, and they could smell sulfur coming out of him, they were not too far from the truth, were they, Oleg? Oleg, I'm sending you scorched earth because there's no sulfur in it. There's only clear truth. Very big topic. I realize it's probably boring to those of you who want to hear more and more and more about what Trump did on an airplane 50 years ago when he kissed an old hag on the cheek. But unfortunately for you, that's not what the show is about. So if you care to hear what might happen between a war between Russia and the USA, which is what Obama and Hillary Clinton are getting us ready for, and I will tell you again why. It has nothing to do with the Syrians. It has nothing to do with humanitarians. It has nothing to do with refugees. It is because the very powerful government military complex, the military-industrial complex, wants a war with Russia. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I see two of the worst people in the history of the world who are about to start World War III without even knowing what they're doing. So let's put the man aside. The man with the death stare, Barack Obama. What about Clinton herself? Well, what about Clinton's track record with Putin? What does she stand? Where does she stand with that? Well, if you look back on what she has said about him and what she has done with him, you will see that she is a seamless ally of Barack Obama in wanting a war with Russia. Trump, on the other hand, has repeatedly praised Putin. Trump has downplayed Russian actions in Syria on hacking. He even called on Russia to help probe Hillary's email accounts. Sunday, Trump said, "I think it would be great if we got along with Russia." So where does that leave you, you leftist fools? All of you lunatics who marched against the Vietnam War, who think that you're all anti-war and that's why you love Hillary, where does this leave you when Donald Trump doesn't want war with the nuclear power while your girl does? Where does that leave you? It leaves you exactly where you've always been, mentally unstable and unsure of yourself and not even knowing what's going on. So why don't you leave it to the rest of us who study these things to tell you that Hillary is the most dangerous choice you could possibly make.